This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, late last week, the British Home Secretary, Priti Patel, granted approval for Julian Assange to be extradited to the United States of America. It was a controversial decision in many ways. Theresa May, a previous Prime Minister, had been very reluctant to approve extradition to the United States. And, of course, Priti Patel, a controversial politician anyway, appeared to have no hesitation. Assange can, of course, appeal, but his case and his story is often forgotten or people disapprove of him. He's a difficult man. And on Saturday, The Guardian, which is one of a group of newspapers that publish whistleblowing material, material that comes from WikiLeaks, which Assange is a co-founder of, wrote about how wrong this was and the dangers it poses to journalism. Peter O'Byrne, one of the bravest journalists in Britain and one of the best, also wrote a piece for The Guardian. Peter was formerly, until 2016, chief political commentator for The Daily Telegraph. He's won numerous awards, and his latest book, The Fate of Abraham, Why the West is Wrong About Islam, is characteristically, I suppose, challenging to the conventional perceptions. Peter, thank you very much for joining us. The first thing I think our listeners would like to know is precisely who Julian Assange is and how he has never been loved, shall we say, and has been a difficult character, but he has been, and what he revealed as a result of documents he acquired from Chelsea Manning, who was a soldier working for the United States in 2010. These were explosive documents that revealed the really wicked things Western governments were doing.
Yes, Julian Assange is, as you say, a very controversial figure, and there has been a small industry in the newspapers and linked to governments, I suspect, to discredit him over the last, 10 years. So it's worth just, people might be interested, I think. He's an Australian. He was born called Julian Hawkins, to a kind of, I think he had a troubled family background, as many people have, of course, do. He was and is, I think, a bit of a genius in a way which most journalists absolutely aren't. He was a sort of technical genius, a computer whiz.
Yes.
And he was obviously also a bit of a loner. And those are no bad things in the world where the internet explosion, the media global explosion of the internet and computers in the last 30 years has given him an insight into all sorts of things, which the way the world has incredibly changed in that time. He founded WikiLeaks, which is really a kind of a portal for leaked information, in 2006, and published various documents which annoyed people, but then came Then came his big unload, his big moment, which was the Chelsea Manning material, which had the Iraq and Afghan war logs. And it really was shocking, because what it documented was war crimes and atrocities committed by the United States in Iraq, Afghanistan, and during the war on terror more generally, and wherever the Americans were active, and that's most of the world, there'll be there were WikiLeaks sort of documents entering the public domain.
Yes, and there was video as well, some of it horrific, of American soldiers laughing as people were tortured and murdered.
Well, laughing as a helicopter gunship just slaughtered, fatally shooting 18 civilians in a helicopter in Iraq, including a Reuters journalist and his assistant, Namir Nur Eldin, and his assistant, Saeed Shamad. I mean, and it's a bit shaming, actually, that sort of self-obsession of the press, that became significant, but because they were journalists, it sort of made it more publicity. Let's not forget, and that's the fact that the many other people who were killed in this same incident. Now, the reaction of the American government to all of this I think they declined to prosecute the American soldiers who were responsible or carried out this terrible act of slaughtering innocent people, but they really punished Mr. Assange for bringing that atrocity into the public domain.
Yes, one of the other things he revealed or was able to reveal as a result of the documents he got was that in Guantanamo Bay, there were 150 entirely innocent people who were held for years without ever being charged. The point, I suppose, being that Chelsea Manning, who is a trans woman, had been an intelligence analyst with the U.S. Army in Iraq, and she had access to these classified databases. And in 2010, she leaked the information to WikiLeaks. I saw you making the point on television, Peter, that whistleblowing is vital and that you have, as many journalists would have, always considered it to be legitimate and important.
Well, it's very important that Daniel Ellsberg, who was the US Marine, who was responsible for the Pentagon Papers, which documented US atrocities in Vietnam, and probably it is viewed by many, actually played a role in bringing the Vietnam War to a close. Ellsberg, you know, is regarded within the kind of world of journalism and outside, actually, human rights, as a great hero, a real figure to emulate, and he's still alive. And it's quite uncanny that 50 years ago, half a century ago, after he'd been a whistleblower on Vietnam War, Ellsberg was likewise prosecuted for espionage, as is Assange. And actually, the US courts deemed that he was, there'd been misconduct by the US state. And these charges were dropped. Ellsberg has spoken out very strongly, including in the hearings which had taken place in Britain ahead of this decision, that he feels a deep fellow feeling with Assange. And he makes one other very interesting and, I think, thought-provoking point, that when he was the whistleblower for those U.S., atrocities, the circle of knowledge was tiny.
Yes.
Now, with the Assange, the Chelsea Manning revelations, the circle of knowledge was huge. There was about 100,000 people who had access to these documents. Yes. which documented assassination and torture. And so the terrible things being committed by the American state were actually being normalized, he points out, Ellsberg does.
Yes, and one of the things he exposed, or the Pentagon Papers exposed, was secret U.S. bombing of Cambodia and Laos.
Yeah.
And in relation to Julian Assange's conduct, Ellsberg, and I'm quoting him, says he feels a great identification with Assange's work. And it is the work here, because that is so important. One other interesting fact is that Chelsea Manning was given a life sentence in the United States. Barack Obama, in the last few days, the last week of his presidency, actually commuted that sentence to 7 years of confinement, dating from her arrest in May 2010. And she was released and is free now. And that was obviously, in Obama's case, significant in its own way.
It was significant, and it's what's particularly significant in relation to our conversation now, is he didn't do the same commutation as far as Assange was.
Yes.
And so, we all agree, I think, in the liberal kind of world, that Trump was an utter monster, and that George W. Bush was terribly mistaken in the Iraq war and the way he conducted it. But Obama, I'm afraid, did not commute Assange. And of course, Joe Biden is now the president.
Yes.
Of the country, he's a Democratic president. And really, he's betraying, I think, the ideals of liberal democracy by continuing the persecution of Assange.
Now, the question, The Guardian editorialized about it in much the same way that you wrote a piece for The Guardian about it, disapproving, of course. The British press and Assange, and the way the British press in general behaves itself, is very relevant to this, isn't it? And I mean, the way you have, in your own, I know you don't want to make it about you, but in your own work and in your observations about the British press, and how it's almost in a conspiracy with governments against the people.
Well, I was very struck during the start of last year, when Assange's hearings were going on in very difficult circumstances. They were virtually ignored by the mainstream British media, even though you've got this very powerful testimony in his defense. It went almost completely unreported.
Yes.
Which also, and really, it should have been a great issue of press freedom. And the fact that the British press has not made it that great issue, which it is, it's beyond doubt the most important issue affecting press freedom, or the case affecting press freedom of the 21st century thus far. And it brings into doubt, I think, the credentials or the sincerity of the British press when it bangs on about other press freedom issues.
Yes.
For instance, following the Leveson inquiry, which took place as a result of the phone hacking carried out by News International papers 10 or 15 years ago.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Now, the question of Assange's personality, the fact that he received political asylum from the government of Ecuador in its London embassy, I think he was there for 7 years.
A long time, yeah.
He fell out with them as well. He did marry while he was in the Ecuadorian embassy. He has two children. He is not, as it were, a cozy character. He's not sort of Sir Galahad. He's a difficult man. There's rumors, or there were charges actually, in Sweden that he may have committed sexual offenses against two women, which I think have largely been discredited now. But he wasn't the stuff of popular heroes. He didn't present as a popular hero at all. And that's a factor in him now facing 175 years in an American prison.
Well, I think quite a lot. I think it's no question that Assange is a loner. Most journalists, are we not, are sort of...
the good ones.
We're quite good at reading. We read English or history or something if we went to university. We have no idea. We're absolutely useless when it comes to sort of computers. And we are quite gregarious. We like going to the pub with each other and all that sort of thing. And Assange clearly didn't fit into this. The Swedish thing, I think, is... I mean, look, he was never charged with anything in Sweden.
No, he wasn't, and it always looked very tenuous. I actually did follow it, and at that stage, popular press in Britain was covering him because this was rather dubious news about his character.
I think there was a smear campaign probably against him already, where papers were happy to run this Swedish stuff, and it carried a great deal of weight. Well, nothing has been proven against him at all. Then we get to the Ecuadorian embassy. I think I am right in saying that there had been a change of government in Ecuador. They fell out with the Ecuadorian embassy, or was there something else behind it? I really don't know. But and the third, I think, the most serious charge against Assange is that because he just dumped documents out there.
Yeah.
They would have contained names, or did contain names, who had helped in various countries, who had helped the US and then put them at risk. That's a very serious
charge. Yes, it is.
That is a genuinely serious charge. Now, insofar as I've tried to look at the truth of this, and the American, I think I'm right in saying that the Americans have been able to provide no evidence of anybody who has suffered, who has been killed or tortured, etc., as a result of those documents. Whereas, actually, again, looking at the Ellsberg testimony to the hearing, he points out that the Americans have sort of indiscriminately killed in their own policies and military action an awful lot of people.
Now, the dissemination of disinformation, there are a group of newspapers, The Guardian being one, I think The Washington Post, New York Times. I'm not sure about the Irish Times, actually, but there are a group of newspapers that avail of material from WikiLeaks, mm-hmm. and they make their own judgment calls as well. And they have deemed what Assange leaked, what Chelsea Manning leaked to him, and what he subsequently leaked, to be the publication of it to be the right thing and very important and in the public interest.
They certainly did, although, again, it is worth speaking to what you were talking about, that he did fall out with The Guardian. And you get into very deep waters here about who was right and who was wrong. As far as I can tell, though, that Assange is not, and I don't speak with total authority because it's a very complex subject. I have seen no evidence that Assange behaved improperly, or that in the sense that he's caused anybody to be killed, or this is a very serious matter as a result of his leaks. I've seen no evidence that there's much to these Swedish allegations. And I have seen plenty of evidence, though, that he was doing the job of a journalist. Very
yes.
respectable figures, above all Ellsberg, but many others say that. And we also have the testimony of Niels Meltzer, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on torture, to the effect that he is... he is being exposed in Belmarsh, the
high security prison
in London, to psychological torture. It's a very strong statement that he is being abused by the British state.
And his wife, Stella, they have two children.
Mm-hmm.
She fears and has expressed this fear, or did express this fear, after Priti Patel made her decision, that he would not survive incarceration in the United States and may well be a suicide risk. And that it strikes me, and obviously you, as a hell of a price to pay for what he did.
Well, I'll tell you what my judgment is, that what he did, which was to dump on the world a whole load of cables which document misbehavior at worst, including war crimes by the United States, at
yes.
best, sort of embarrassing details about their sort of rather unsavory diplomatic. By the way, all states get involved in unsavory diplomatic dealings with
Indeed.
Other states. And they're determined this should never happen again. They're going to pursue him to the ends of the earth and bring him to what is the United States regards as injustice, but others must feel very nervous about it, because from the point of view of journalism, if you're going to be it sets a precedent that anybody who does the job of a journalist and obtains secret cables or secret information concerning the United States is going to spend the rest of their life in jail. It also sends out the most appalling message to people like Vladimir Putin, not an advertising
yes.
figure at all, but he will be able to say, just think, imagine that Putin wanted to get hold of a Russian dissident who'd been publishing
yes.
secret details, documenting Russian war crimes, showing the same sort of thing of torture and the slaughter of civilians, etc., which Assange has been doing to the US. Just imagine if Putin was trying, there is Assange in London, and Putin's trying to get hold of him to bring him back to face justice in Russia. We would be outraged. We'd never allow it. And the papers would be screaming from the rooftops about how outrageous this was.
Yes.
Boris Johnson was making sort of very powerful statements about Britain and the freedom of the press and all the rest of it. And but since it's our friends, the Americans, we're taking exactly the opposite position. And this is if Britain is going to say to the rest of the world that we value free speech, we value human rights, that position is absolutely untenable in the light of the Home Secretary Priti Patel's decision to welcome the US extradition of Mr. Assange.
Let me ask you finally, Peter, a question. I saw you on television on Sky on, I think it was Friday night, Saturday, and you were talking about a story. One has the impression in Johnson's Britain, particularly, that the press is getting weaker and less credible, and that a populist chancer like Johnson can really manipulate the news media quite easily, and does, and it is not in the public interest. But there was, you raised a question about a story about Johnson that was in the Times, which is, you would think, the strongest or most reputable newspaper in the world, at least in British eyes. There was a story about Boris Johnson, which was in the first edition. You raised this question and was subsequently removed from the newspaper and removed from its online edition. And I didn't think the anchorman on duty for Sky was too keen to hear too much about it. But there was a story lifted out of a paper, and you wanted to know who had it lifted. And I suppose the implication you were pointing to was that it could have been the Prime Minister. And if it was, that wasn't the way the game should be played.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'd rather, Johnson is in many ways the most incompetent Prime Minister in modern British history, and in every way the most dishonest Prime Minister in British history, since the post of Prime Minister was invented in the 1720s, 300 years ago. But he's done one thing. He's kept his promises to one group only, and he's managed one group only extremely competently, and that is the press, the yes. big press proprietors, those are, and let's remind ourselves what their names are, Rupert Murdoch, who owns the Times and the Sun and other papers, Lord Rothermere, who owns the Mail on Sunday, and the Barclay family, which owns the Telegraph, and he's managed them extremely well. And they all supported him in his journey to being Tory leader. They all supported him ahead of the 2019 election. And they all supported him in that leadership challenge he received 2 weeks ago. So they've been completely loyal. And the Times last week published a story about the Johnsons. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but it published an important story about the Johnsons. And it vanished after the first edition. It never actually got online, I'm told, by the way.
Right.
And now the question is, why did it vanish after first edition? The journalist who wrote it, Simon Walters, I know him. He's got an outstanding record. He's very reliable and extremely experienced. Now, why did the Times pull this story? And I did, when I went on Sky TV, I did simply said, and I said to the, we have to raise this. It's an issue about free speech. And we need to know from the Times, the editor of the Times, John Witherow, he's called. We need to know from him, exactly the Times made this decision. Is it because they wrote a story which was untrue, or was it because they were put under pressure, or was there a legal injunction? What was it? We do need to know.
And you don't yet.
We have had no statement that I'm aware of at the moment I'm speaking to you from the Times now.
Okay, Peter, we're grateful to you for joining us this morning to talk about Julian Assange, and we will watch to see how he fares on appeal. I should also mention Peter has a new book out, The Fate of Abraham, Why the West is Wrong About Islam. And Peter, I'd like sometime in the not-too-distant future to talk to you about the book.
I'd love to talk to you. Yes.
Yeah, well, perhaps in the next week or 10 days, we can find a time to suit you and we can talk about it, because that is a very, very important issue for all of us. We're very grateful to you for joining us this morning, Peter. That's Peter O'Byrne. We're grateful to Peter, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.